This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's the Adam Gold Show. I'm Adam Gold. Alec Campbell is here. A couple of nights ago, the North Carolina Tar Heels got thumped at Miami. Duke was also beaten. It was not a good night for 919 area code teams in the state of Florida. Duke got beat at Florida State. I don't know if Brendan Marks could be in both places at the same time, but he's in charge of covering both teams, and we will talk about both teams with Brendan Marks, who joins us right now on the Adam Gold Show at Brendan R. Marks on Twitter. How are you, man? Thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for having me. And just for the record, let me say that I completely agree. There are far better Elton John songs than Tiny Dancer.
I mean, it just didn't understand that. I mean, we could have just put the Yellow Brick Road, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road album, because all of those songs are better than Tiny Dancer. All right, let's get to what we saw. Let's start with the less troubling first. Probably have less to complain about with regards to Duke. I mean, is it as simple? I mean, I'm going to try not to use Coach K's lingo here. Is it as simple as Florida State was just the tougher team on Tuesday night?
I don't think so, although I certainly think that there's an element of that. Florida State is consistently one of the longest, most aggressive, most physically imposing teams in the league, and that's no different this year, even if Leonard Hamilton doesn't have a surefire lottery pick this year. But I definitely think that there are trends that are popping up in Duke's losses that also materialized in Tallahassee. I mean, and the two that I think stand out that a lot of Duke fans look at and are frustrated by in these losses are turnovers and not getting defensive rebounds at opportune times. I mean, it was, I think, 17 turnovers against Miami a week and a half ago.
Right.
Now against Florida State, 15 turnovers. I mean, that is the biggest difference between this Duke team now as compared to before its COVID stoppage, and it's leading directly to losses.
Yeah, they were minus 10 in turnovers against Florida State. The defense, they gave up 19 offensive rebounds. Duke only had like 23 defensive rebounds, so a 1-to-1 ratio ain't good. I kind of look at both of those things in a way as toughness issues, and maybe playing a little bit young. Also, I'm curious, when I look at Duke, I see a team that can be vulnerable to dribble drive, because when they go big, it's not the quickest team in the world. Trevor Keels is, and hopefully Trevor Keels will be okay. It looked like a high ankle sprain. I hope he'll be able to come back. Paolo Banchero is a good defender, but against a smaller, quicker player, obviously that's going to be trouble. When they go big, it shouldn't hurt them in the offensive glass, but I think teams kind of spread them out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what Miami did too, right? And I think that, you know, Leonard Hamilton and the staff went and they watched that and they said, you know, we can do some of that too.
Yep.
So, it's sort of a blessing and a curse for Duke. They have all this versatility. They can play, you know, really big with a Mark Williams, Paolo Banchero, AJ Griffin front court. They can also go small and have Paolo as a small ball center. They can play, you know, four guards realistically if they want. Like, there's a lot of lineup options and versatility here. And that's obviously great, but I also think that having to consistently do one throwing in or another, I know if I was a player, I think it might be difficult at times to always know what my role is. And especially when it's just changing so much on a game to game basis. So this is a team that is very much still figuring itself out, still figuring out what the best combinations are. And as it continues to do so, I think there will continue to be a couple of hiccups along the way.
Yeah, they've got 2 months to figure it out. I trust the brain trust over in Durham to piece it together. I still think that they're a little bit vulnerable defensively when they get into March, but they might be able to mitigate those by having stretches in games where they score 20 points in 4 minutes, which, frankly, happens kind of regularly.
Right, yeah. And you know, let's not forget that, like, on the whole, their defense is still, I think, you know, probably one of the best, if not the best, defenses in the league. You know, they're top 25 in adjusted defensive efficiency on KenPom.
Right.
You know, just specifically in conference play, not, you know, factoring in any of those non-conference losses. They're third in adjusted defensive efficiency in the ACC. So I think that there are shortcomings, but I also think that there aren't many teams like Miami and Florida State in the league that are capable of taking advantage of them.
Yeah, but the just to get to that point, at Florida State, they had chances to end that game on the defensive end twice and did not do it. So all of the adjusted numbers are great, but when you get right down to it, we need a stop and didn't get it. As for North Carolina, like, I feel for Hubert Davis because he's clearly at a loss for what the issues are. And I'm not criticizing him. I think a lot of people are wondering what is going on. I actually think it's more mechanical for them than it is internal in terms of their will or their leadership. I don't think they're – I think they look more mid-major-ish than high-major-ish to me as a team. But – What is your sense of what the major issue is in Chapel Hill?
Yeah, I think the major issue is that there are multiple issues. you know, I don't think there is any one thing that you can point to and say, you know, if UNC can do this one thing consistently, then all of a sudden they're going to stop, you know, losing these stinker games and having no-shows. You know, I think at times – absolutely, there is a lack of energy. I mean, Caleb Love coming out and saying after the Notre Dame game that he went in, you know, quote unquote, dry in the first half, like that can't happen. But at the same point, I absolutely think that there are, you know, on court issues that are showing up and different problems that are presenting themselves. I think, you know, as I have said for the entirety of the season, you know, North Carolina has always succeeded by getting more shots than its opponents, mm-hmm. whether that was by creating turnovers or by getting offensive rebounds that led to second possessions. North Carolina won a lot of games by getting more possessions and getting more chances to score than their opponents did. This year, UNC is one of the five worst teams in the entire country, not just the ACC, but the entire country, enforcing turnovers defensively. And in terms of offensive rebounding, they are far off the rate that they were at under Roy Williams. So yeah, you're not getting those extra looks. And when you're not getting those extra looks, you're suddenly relying on a lot of really, really high-level shot-making on a night-in, night-out basis. And when you have a lot of players who still are learning how to win, I mean, a Caleb Love is great and has showed that he's had flashes, but it doesn't happen every game. When Armando Bacot, you know, falls to the ground and, you know, gets up and looks a little hobbled, fell on his elbow or his hip or whatever,
right,
you know, who is going to step in and replace him? So I don't think there is just one issue. The issue is that there are multiple issues, yeah, and every week it seems like it's a different one.
And that's what I was getting at with North Carolina, with it being a mechanical thing as opposed to an internal thing, is that I don't think I think you and I have talked about this. I've never liked their defensive, potential, because I don't see Love and Davis as, you know, top echelon defenders. Leaky Blacks can be an elite defender. Armando Bacot is okay. He's good, great rebounder, obviously. But other than that, Manic, Garcia, not great defenders. They're clearly hobbled, I guess, when it comes to defending other wings. To me, it's a very good jump shooting team that if they're not shooting well, I don't think they have a plan B, because I don't think they're going to lock anybody down defensively. And offensively, I think dribble penetration is kind of a difficult thing for them.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And I think the thing that, you know, you stack on top of that is, if it's a personnel issue, like that's not on Hubert Davis. And I've seen him get a lot of flack in the last couple of days. And yeah, sure, maybe could UNC have gone zone at some point, or, you know, played some of the freshmen a little earlier to see what you get there. I mean, yeah, sure, in theory. But Hubert Davis inherited most of this team.
Yeah.
You know, the only player on this team that has won an NCAA tournament game as a Tar Heel is Leaky Black. And that was when he was a freshman and he was barely playing.
Right.
So you just, you know, as much as people want to blame Hubert Davis for not making adjustments or not getting his team quote unquote ready or whatever that is, I think you come and you look at the players, you look at the core here.
Yeah.
This is the same group and the same consistency issues we saw last year. None of these guys have ever won an NCAA tournament game in Chapel Hill other than Leaky. So, you know, I just think when you're talking about what you're saying, Adam, I think you're 100% right. You look at a team that's great at jump shooting, And Hubert Davis has certainly influenced that. But the rest of it, I don't think that he is getting a proportional amount of blame. I think it's been far too much on him because at the end of the day, he got this job in April and a lot of these guys were already in tow.
Yeah, I think the biggest recruiting miss was not being able to convince Walker Kessler to stick around, which would have given them two dynamic big men and very different big men at the same time. But I guess Hubert also wants to spread the court and play more of a modern offense where there's one big, or even at times, and you're not doing this with Armando, no bigs, where basically everybody's on the outside. Working, you know, kind of operating an offense that way. But that's what he's wanted to do. But I don't see it as a leadership thing because they've won games with the same leadership or lack thereof. They're 12-5. I guess it is funny that everybody's gnashing their teeth at a team that's 4-2 in the league because some of the losses have been just so egregious.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And, you know, I saw this stat the other day, but you look at the four losses against potential NCAA tournament teams, Miami, Kentucky, Purdue, and Tennessee. And, you know, they're not just losses, they're lopsided losses.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that really stings people is that it's not really close. But, I think that, yes, like against Notre Dame, they looked like they didn't have energy in the first half, but came back and had chances to win that game. At some point, I think a lot of fans like to believe and have optimism that, you know, oh, the coach can say the right thing in the locker room and it inspires everyone and everything magically falls into place. And, unfortunately, other teams are good too. They have good players too, and they make good plays. And in a lot of these cases, better teams have made more plays than North Carolina has. And you know, like you said, I don't think that's anything that you look at leadership or energy or effort or any of those things.
Final thing for Brendan Marks. Follow him on Twitter at Brendan R. Marks. Covers Duke and North Carolina. I don't know how you did it Tuesday. Is Wake Forest a better team than North Carolina?
Oh, boy. I think it is a team. Well, we're going to find out on Saturday, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, and really, I think that you could make the argument that Wake Forest is because Wake Forest has been able to go on the road and win some of these games.
Yeah.
And thus far, North Carolina hasn't really been able to do that against anybody not named Boston College or Georgia Tech. So especially, I think, the way that Wake Forest, you never have any of these questions about, you know, however much you want to believe in them. You never have questions about energy or effort or any of that with Wake Forest. Those guys come out and play hard for Steve Forbes every single night. So I think North Carolina is a more talented team. Is it playing like a better team right now? I'm not so sure I can say that.
Brendan Marks, I appreciate your time, man. Thank you very much, and we will do it again very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, and hope you're staying safe and all stocked up for this weekend.
You're listening to The Adam Gold Show on the North Carolina Sports Network.